Good morning, you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska, and this is Speak Up on Alaska for Tuesday, February 2nd. I'm Ann Hillman, I'm your host, and today we have special guests calling in from Juneau. On the line, we have Representative Bryce Edgemond. Thank you for joining us, Representative.
Good morning, Ann. Good to be here today.
And also visiting down in Juneau is our own Mayor, Shirley Marquardt.
Good morning, Ann. Thank you.
And I'd like to invite all the listeners to go ahead and call in with any questions you have. We have questions that were emailed in early, but it's always good to supplement and add more. The number you can call in it is 581-1888. You can't be live on air because we only have one line in, but you can ask anything you want and we'll make sure it gets on. So let's just go ahead and jump straight into questions that were submitted ahead of time. Sound good?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, again, thank you both for being here, and 581-1888. So, Representative Edgemond, the most recent time we saw you was when you came out to Unalaska for an Energy Committee hearing. So, what were some of the key messages that the Energy Committee took home last year after holding hearings around the state, and what do you guys plan on doing with those?
Well, a good question. We traveled to 12 communities on a good part of the traveling occurring in rural Alaska, and of course we held the hearing in Unalaska, as well as traveling over to Haines and a number of other locations throughout the state. But we heard a couple things. One, obviously, a reminder of how dire the energy situation is for a lot of communities throughout remote Alaska. But two, we also saw that a lot of communities, and particularly a lot of individuals, are taking matters into their own hands and doing innovative things. I think conservation, energy efficiency, that's being applied everywhere, and that's being universally done. But we got to see a lot of things like wood stoves and small wind turbines and just all kinds of things that the communities collectively are doing, working with the Alaska Energy Authority. And so we were able to bring that back to Juneau, and one example I can provide is our energy policy, the statewide energy policy that probably will get passed this year and be put into state statute that, among a whole host of other things, talks about how energy solutions really are going to, in a state that's very geographically and culturally and just about every other way diverse, that is going to be community-driven. And so what works for one community may not work for another community. And so, you know, we saw that up front and close, and we're able to bring that back. And, I think we're going to get some movement on that in terms of energy policy.
I'd like you to go into a bit more detail about what exactly that energy policy will mean. I mean, if it's community-driven, then why do we need a statewide policy?
Well, a statewide policy was either number one or two on just about every energy organization list throughout the state, whether it be the utilities, whether it be the university, whether it be the Rural Energy Alaska Program, REAP, whether it be the Conservation Committee, the Resource Development Council, the Nurses Association, the Education Associations. It was either an energy department or an energy policy, because last year, for example, we counted up 15 different sort of energy policies, energy plans, whatever they were called, being written up around the state with no sort of coordination with overall what the state's policy was. And if you look at state statutes, we've got overarching policies on economic development, on mineral development, on transportation issues, on a whole bunch of other things, but we don't have anything for energy. And in the policy that we're promoting, House Bill 306, we also have some very specific goals in the bill that are in the front section of the bill. So we think it's necessary, and we have a lot of support for it.
Could you explain exactly what some of those goals are?
Yeah, we have an energy efficiency goal of attaining 15% per capita Alaska resident by 2020. So that's a period of about 10 years. We also have...
Wait, what do you mean an energy efficiency goal of 15% per person?
Well, that we have, working with Alaska Energy Authority, we would set up a system where we could actually measure the amount of energy efficiency being obtained by per capita users throughout the state. And it, on the surface, sounds a bit nebulous, admittedly, but that's the number that we arrived at. And I should have prefaced this whole discussion by saying that myself and co-chair Millett of the House Energy Committee put together a very diverse stakeholders group that met once every month beginning in July of last year, and we concluded in December. And so what came forth as an energy policy really was a product of this large working group. So so we also have, former Governor Palin talked about a goal of achieving 50% of renewable energy by the year 2025 through electric generation, and we put that into the bill. You wouldn't be able to talk energy policy if you didn't talk an in-state gas line, so we also have language that speaks to ensuring a reliable in-state gas supply for residents of the state. And then the last sort of objective that we put in, again, in the front part of the bill was at the behest of Alaska Energy Authority, was to put into statute the Power Project Fund would serve as the main source of state assistance for energy programs. And I'll conclude here in just a second, but I should say that the Alaska Energy Authority is coming out with a phase two of their so-called energy, well, I guess you could say it's an energy plan, but they want to promote a new funding mechanism outside of the Renewable Energy Grant Fund that right now is sort of the main vehicle for funding renewable energy / alternative energy projects.
We just had someone call in who would like to know if net metering is part of the energy policy.
Well, it's not part of the policy itself, because we determined that there was a whole host of things that were more specific and maybe didn't that were more probably suited to being in the energy plan that would follow the energy policy itself. And we had a couple of amendments in committee the other day with public transportation and another specific amendment escapes me at the moment, that we decided that in terms of an overarching vision that we put in a state statute, that something like net metering, which, by the way, we had a presentation from the Regulatory Commission chairman on last week, and it appears like we will need legislation on the subject after all. But something like that would be more specifically addressed in either a plan or something more specific.
So once this overarching policy comes into place, will individual citizens feel any difference? Will we notice that now there's an energy policy?
Well, you know, policies are put in place to provide guidance and provide direction. And there's definitely a universal feeling down here in the legislature that, that in terms of going forward and solving the energy dilemma, we really don't have any sort of roadmap. We don't have any general direction on whether the state should focus all of its time and resources on an in-state gas line, or whether we should be working more with geothermal projects, or whether we should be focusing on funding wind projects, or just the whole notion of energy efficiency. We don't have in a lot of our state buildings, for example, and this sort of segues into our omnibus energy bill, House Bill 305. We don't have any sort of guidelines or any real standards in energy efficiency or conservation. And so we have worked, with our stakeholder group at coming forth with some proposals that we've stuck into our omnibus bill.
And that is different than the energy policy bill, or the same?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The omnibus bill, is that the same energy policy bill you've been talking about this whole time?
No, and thank you for pointing that out. There's actually two bills, House Bill 305 and House Bill 306, that are before the House Energy Committee. And the Senate Energy Committee also has an omnibus energy bill, if you will, but their energy policy legislation, which they took from the work that we did on the House side over the summer, they've incorporated that in the one bill. So on the Senate side, you've got one big bill. On the House side, you've got the omnibus bill and the second bill, which deals specifically with energy policy, statewide energy policy.
And these do very different things?
Well, there are similarities between the House. Well, the energy policy in the House and Senate is the same because that came through our committee last year or so. The energy policy at this point is arguably the same product. The two bills, the House and the Senate, do have some differences in them, but there's also, both bills are sort of a compilation of a lot of different pieces of legislation that are out there. And so to some extent, we've drawn from the same sources, and there's also a couple of differences in the bill.
Okay. Moving on a little bit, but on the same topic of energy and conservation, what's your view on oil and gas exploration in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas? And does the number of native groups who oppose it affect your opinion?
Well, it's not an issue that really has come before the legislature in terms of policy or in terms of budget. I do know the legislator, Representative Jewell, the Senator Olson, both have been promoting the reinstatement of some form of the Coastal Zone Management Program to allow for local residents to have more input into the permitting process, more public involvement at the local level. But beyond that, we'll see whether Shell Oil actually gets the go-ahead to do the exploration work that they hope to begin this summer in the Chukchi, for example, and the Beaufort as well.
So, as a legislator, you have no opinion on the issue?
Well, you know, as a legislator, my job down here is to do what's best for my district. And that isn't my district, although if those projects do commence, there is going to be impact on Alaska and be positive economic development impact, I think, putting it mildly. And right now, it's not a state issue. So whether I had an opinion on it or not really wouldn't matter. But, I certainly hope Alaska gets to benefit from it.